increase of cloud generally across the country. So the best of the sunshine on Thursday will be in the extreme southeast. Temperatures not quite as high of 14 to 19 degrees. That's your weather.
Thank you, Louise. Now, Book of the Week continues. The Reason I Jump by Naoki Higashida reveals a unique insight into his world as a child with severe autism. When the novelist David Mitchell discovered this book, it helped him to turn a corner in his relationship with his own son, who also has autism. And he originally began this translation with his wife for personal use. David Mitchell introduces this reading by Casper Hilton Hilly.
The 13-year-old author of this book invites his reader to imagine a daily life in which your faculty of speech is taken away. Explaining that you're hungry or tired or in pain is now as beyond your powers as a chat with a friend. Now imagine that after losing your ability to communicate, the editor-in-residence who orders your thoughts walks out without notice. The chances are that you never knew this mind editor even existed, but now that he or she has gone, you realise too late how the editor allowed your mind to function for all these years. A dam burst of ideas, memories, impulses and thoughts is cascading over you unstoppably. Your internal editor had controlled this flow, diverting the vast majority away and nominating just a tiny number for your conscious consideration. But now, you're on your own. Now, your mind is a room where 20 radios, all tuned to different stations, are blaring out voices and music. The radios have no off switches or volume controls. The room you're in has no door or window, and relief will only come when you're too exhausted to stay awake. Suddenly, sensory input from your environment is flooding in, too. Unfiltered in quality and overwhelming in quantity. Colours and patterns swim and clamour for your attention. The fabric conditioner in your sweater smells as strong as air freshener fired up your nostrils. Your comfy jeans now feel as scratchy as steel wool. Your senses are out of kilter, so the floor keeps tilting like a ferry in heavy seas, and you're no longer sure where your hands and feet are in relation to the rest of you. The air conditioner is as deafening as an electric drill, but your father, who's right here in front of you, sounds as if he's speaking to you from a cell phone on a train going through lots of short tunnels in Cantonese. You are no longer able to comprehend your mother tongue or any tongue. From now on, all languages will be foreign languages. Even your sense of time has gone, rendering you unable to distinguish between a minute and an hour. This is your new ongoing reality. Autism is a lifelong condition, but even the word autism makes no more sense to you now than the word jihaisho might to a non-Japanese speaker. For those people born onto the autistic spectrum, this unedited, unfiltered, and scary as all hell reality is home.
So how do people with autism see the world exactly? We, and only we, can ever know the answer to that one. Sometimes I actually pity you for not being able to see the beauty of the world in the same way we do. Really, our vision of the world can be incredible. Just incredible. You might reply, but the eyes we all use to look at things work the same way, right? Fair enough. You may be looking at the exact same thing as us, but how we perceive them appears to be different. When you see an object, it seems that you see it as an entire thing first, and only afterwards do its details follow on. But for people with autism, the details jump straight out at us first of all, and then only gradually, detail by detail, does the whole image sort of float up into focus. What part of the whole image captures our eyes first depends on a number of things. When a colour is vivid or a shape is eye-catching, then that's the detail that claims our attention, and then our hearts kind of drown in it and we can't concentrate on anything else. Every single thing has its own unique beauty. People with autism get to cherish this beauty, as if it's a kind of blessing given to us. Wherever we go, whatever we do, we can never be completely lonely. We may look like we're not with anyone, but we're always in the company of friends.
Do you have a sense of time?
Time is a continuous thing with no clear boundaries, which is why it's so confusing for people with autism. Perhaps you're puzzled about why time intervals and the speed of time are so hard for us to gauge, and why time seems such slippery stuff for people with autism. For us, time is as difficult to grasp as picturing a country we've never been to. You can't capture the passing of time on a piece of paper. The hands of a clock may show that some time has passed, but the fact we can't actually feel it makes us nervous. Because I have autism, I know all about this, and I feel it myself. Believe me, this is scary stuff. We're anxious about what kind of condition we'll be in at the future point, and what problems we'll trigger. People who have effortless control over themselves and their bodies never really experience this fear. For us, 1 second is infinitely long, yet 24 hours can hurtle by in a flash. Time can only be fixed in our memories in the form of visual scenes. For this reason, there's not a lot of difference between 1 second and 24 hours. Exactly what the next moment has in store for us never stops being a big, big worry.
Why do you like being in the water?
In the water, it's so quiet, and I'm so free and happy there. Nobody hassles us in the water, and it's as if we've got all the time in the world. Whether we stay in one place or whether we're swimming about, when we're in the water, we can really be at one with the pulse of time. Outside of the water, there's always too much stimulation for our eyes and our ears, and it's impossible for us to guess how long 1 second is or how long an hour takes. People with autism have no freedom. The reason is that we are a different kind of human, born with primeval senses from a distant, distant, watery past. We just want to go back to that distant past. To a primeval era, in fact, before human beings even existed. We are outside the normal flow of time. We can't express ourselves, and our bodies are hurtling us through life.
Why do people with autism often cut their ears?
There are certain noises you don't notice, but that really get to us. The problem here is that you don't understand how these noises affect us. It's not quite that the noises grate on our nerves, it's more to do with the fear that if we keep listening, we'll lose all sense of where we are. At times like these, it feels as if the ground is shaking and the landscape around us starts coming to get us. It's absolutely terrifying. So cupping our ears is a measure we take to protect ourselves and get back our grip on where we are. The noises that get to people with autism vary from person to person. I don't know how we'd cope if we couldn't cup our ears. Me too, I cup my ears sometimes, though I've gradually got used to the noises by pressing my hands over my ears less and less heavily. Some people can overcome the problem by slowly becoming accustomed to the noises, I guess. What matters most is that we learn to feel safe and secure even when the noises strike us.
Why don't you do what you're told to straight away?
There are times when I can't act, even though I really badly want to. This is when my body is beyond my control. I don't mean I'm ill or anything. It's as if my whole body, except for my soul, feels as if it belongs to somebody else and I have zero control over it. I don't think you could ever imagine what an agonising sensation this is.
Why do people with autism talk so loudly and weirdly?
People often tell me that when I'm talking to myself, my voice is really loud, even though I still can't say what I need to, and even though my voice at other times is way too soft. This is one of those things I can't control. When I'm talking in a weird voice, I'm not doing it on purpose. Sure, there are some times when I find the sound of my own voice comforting, when I'll use familiar words or easy-to-say phrases, but the voice I can't control is different. This one blurts out, not because I want it to, it's more like a reflex. A reflex reacting to what I've just seen, in some cases, or to some old memories. When my weird voice gets triggered, it's almost impossible to hold it back, and if I try, it actually hurts, almost as if I'm strangling my own throat. I'd be okay with my weird voice on my own, but I'm aware that it bothers other people. How often have the strange sounds coming out of my mouth embarrassed me nearly to death? Honest, I want to be nice and calm and quiet too, but even if we're ordered to keep our mouths shut or to be quiet, we simply don't know how. Our voices are like our breathing, I feel, just coming out of our mouths unconsciously.
Why do you echo questions back at the asker?
For a long time, I've noticed that people with autism often repeat questions like parrots. Instead of answering the question, we just say the exact same question straight back at the person asking it. Once, I thought we did it simply because we didn't know how to answer, but now I think there's more to the mystery than this. Firing the question back is a way of sifting through our memories to pick up clues about what the questioner is asking. We understand the question okay, but we can't answer it until we fish out the right memory picture in our heads. It's quite a complicated process, this. First, I scan my memory to find an experience closest to what's happening now. When I've found a good close match, my next step is to try to recall what I said at that time. If I'm lucky, I hit upon a usable experience and all is well. If I'm not lucky, I get clobbered by the same sinking feeling I had originally, and I'm unable to answer the question I'm being asked. No matter how hard I try to stop it, that weird voice slips out, making me more flustered and discouraged, and so it gets harder and harder to say anything. In set pattern conversations, we manage much better. Although, of course, when it comes to talking about your feelings, these patterns are no use at all. In fact, by relying on them too much, you can end up saying the opposite of what you wanted to say. I swear, conversation is such hard work. To make myself understood, it's like I have to speak in an unknown foreign language every minute of every day.
Why do you ask the same questions over and over?
It's true. I always ask the same questions. What day is it today? Or is it a school day tomorrow? Simple matters like these. I ask again and again. I don't repeat my question because I didn't understand. In fact, even as I'm asking, I know I do understand. The reason I do it is because I very quickly forget what it is I've just heard. Inside my head, there really isn't such a big difference between what I was told just now and what I heard a long, long time ago. So I do understand things, but my way of remembering them works differently from everyone else's. I imagine a normal person's memory is arranged continuously, like a line. My memory, however, is more like a pool of dots. I'm always picking up these dots by asking my questions so I can arrive back at the memory that the dots represent. But there's another reason for our repeated questioning. It lets us play with words. We aren't good at conversation, and however hard we try, we'll never speak as effortlessly as you do. The big exception is words or phrases we're very familiar with. Repeating these is great fun. It's like a game of catch with a ball. Unlike the words we're ordered to say, repeating questions we already know the answers to can be a pleasure. It's play with sound and rhythm.
Casper Hilton Hilly was reading from The Reason I Jump, which was translated and introduced by David Mitchell. It was abridged and produced by Allegra McElroy. BBC Radio 4. Now the shipping forecast issued by the Met Office on behalf of the Maritime and Coast Guard Agency at 0015 today, Wednesday the 26th of June. There are warnings of gales in Fisher, Trafalgar and Fitzroy. The general synopsis at 1800, high 100 miles west of Fitzroy, 1035, slow moving, intensifying 1038 by 1800 Wednesday. The area forecast for the next 24 hours. Viking, North Utsira, South Utsira. Northwesterly 5 to 7, decreasing 4 at times in Viking. Mainly fair, good. 40s, westerly or northwesterly 4 or 5, increasing 6 or 7 later in east. Mainly fair, good. Cromarty, 4th, Tyne. West or northwest 4 or 5, decreasing 3 for a time. Showers, good. Dogger, northwest 4 or 5,